Welcome to the Information Security Forum podcast. I'm your host, Tavia Gilbert.
Breaches have become the third certainty in life, and cyber war has replaced the Cold War. The truth is, we're under attack every minute of every day, and this is just not the paranoid side of me speaking. This is reality.
That was Adam Levin, chairman and founder of CyberScout, co-founder of Credit.com, and author of Swiped, How to Protect Yourself in a World Full of Scammers, Phishers, and Identity Thieves. In this episode of the ISF podcast, we bring you the first of three conversations with Adam and ISF Managing Director Steve Durbin. In this episode, Adam shares the hard truth about the insecurity of the modern technology era, the three M's, the risks of social media, and more.
So, Adam, you obviously are something of an industry watcher, if I can put it that way. Tell us a little bit about how you see cyber emerging, evolving, and the impact that it has on individuals today.
Well, I think the first thing that people really have to get, and for some people it's very hard, is that breaches have become the third certainty in life.
Right.
And cyber war has replaced the Cold War.
Right.
I know you say that sounds sort of cliche, but it's really true. And, you know, during the 2016 election, we heard so much about the wall. We still hear about the wall, but we don't hear enough about the concept of the cyberdome. Now, certainly the Israelis understand that very well. But the truth is that we're under attack every minute of every day. And this is just not the paranoid side of me speaking. This is reality. And there are so many people out there that go, nobody cares about me. My credit isn't that good. I'm just a regular person. Or a business goes, I'm so small. Who would find me interesting? Or even little government agencies off in the middle of nowhere go, we're irrelevant. Well, what people have to understand is that no one is too unimportant. No business too small. No government agency too irrelevant for a hacker. The reality is that each and every one of us to a hacker is Kim Kardashian, because we have what they want. We either have data, we have money, or we are the tributary to a larger river. And I give you the hack, for instance, of Target.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't done directly on Target. What they did is they compromised an HVAC subcontractor who had access to systems in Target, and they used that access to get into Target. Just like we're very involved, my company, with election security.
Right.
And people don't realize, for instance, when they participate in what's called mobile voter, you're basically, as you register your car or you get your license renewal, they say, do you want to vote? You want to get registered if you're not registered? So you get registered. But remember, that data is flowing through networks from the Division of Motor Vehicle to somewhere. And those networks can be compromised. As a matter of fact, unfortunately, any network can be compromised. So if you want to put this in total perspective, business hasn't done enough. Haven't. Government hasn't done enough. And even as consumers, we really haven't done enough. So we're now faced with what I call the shared responsibility. As consumers, didn't want it, aren't prepared for it, and have no desire to get anywhere near it. But unfortunately, we got it. Just like every business has it, every government agency has it, every consumer has it, that we are now at war against a well-armed, weaponized enemy. Now, whether it's a state-sponsored hacker, a for-profit hacker, a cause hacker, or the proverbial 400-pound hacker on a mattress in his mother's house in New Jersey that the president likes to refer to. But at the end of the day, we are in their crosshairs, and they're coming at us as if they're friends, family members, a boss, a technology company, a government agency, a financial institution, preying on the one thing that they can, the fact that we're all human. And unfortunately, we've learned in cybersecurity and technology that humans are the weakest link, that we believe. We click on links.
Mm-hmm.
We don't use two-factor authentication. We don't use long and strong passwords. When we're confronted with a question by somebody who seems to be somewhat of authority, we give them an honest answer.
Right.
The same answer that we put oftentimes in our profile in social media. We don't shred and we don't freeze our credit. When you combine all of that, we are easy pickings for a hacker because at the end of the day, they're preying on distraction and vulnerability. And we all have day jobs, whether it's running a business, working for a business, raising a family, being involved in philanthropic activities, going to school. We have a day job. But for a hacker, we are their day job. And that's the context that people have to really put it all in.
So where do we go from here? I mean, you've made the point that as a consumer, first of all, we don't particularly think we're a target, but of course we are. We don't necessarily think before we click because we just don't. So what can we do? Where do we go?
Well, I have in the book Swiped and in a lot of the things that I do and the work that I do, I try to put this into the context of what I call the three M's. And this applies to businesses and government agencies and individuals.
Right.
And the first M is, how do I minimize my risk of exposure? How do I reduce my attackable surface? The second M is, how do I effectively monitor? Businesses need to monitor systems. Government agencies need to monitor systems. Consumers need to monitor credit. They need to monitor their identity. And the third M is, how do I manage the damage? Now, the managing the damage part is different for the business versus the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it's really all about the three M's. And especially when you talk about reducing your attackable surface, we're living in a world surrounded by billions of Internet of Things devices. They're tracking us. They're listening, even when we don't think they're listening. And they're gathering information and they're sending it back somewhere. Those Internet of Things devices all come with manufacturer default passwords, and every one of those passwords is for sale today on the dark web.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're confronted by a situation like that, you don't change the password. You don't think about the fact that when you walk into a room and you talk to something that's going to make something happen, that it and its manufacturer may not be the only folks who are listening.
Right.
And that vulnerability could get bad guys into networks, your home network, your business network, government agencies, election systems, all of those things. So you got to think about it in terms of the three M's, which I can break down. I just don't want to keep going.
I'm interested in this minimization because that's where it starts, right? Because as you've rightly pointed out, everything now is listening. Doesn't matter what it is. If it's got a chip in it, it's listening and it's sending information somewhere. I was with a bank just the other day who was telling me that they had discovered that all of their printers were actually sending information out of the bank premise. Not intentionally, but simply because they'd outsourced the printer acquisition to business departments who had gone away and bought them and got a good deal on it and hadn't really thought that there was potentially a password that needed to be changed on it. So, there's that kind of thing in the business context. If we look at it at the individual context, very few of us spend more than 10 minutes without picking up a smartphone or doing something with it, sending something, taking a picture of something. And so when you talk about minimization, that I think for a lot of people listening to this would seem like something of a, on the one hand, a utopian ideal, or on the other, something that is actually an impossibility and not something that they would even wish to consider because being, off the grid is horrendous. There's no way we can do that. So how can we minimize this threat?
And first of all, even if you're off the grid, if your picture happens to show up with someone who's on the grid,
yep,
or you've made a comment to someone who quotes you saying, my best friend Bob, who really never talks about very much of anything, did say this the other day, and it was pretty interesting. And then suddenly that person gets engaged and they give more information about you. Now you're in the matrix. You're there.
Right.
So in terms of minimization, there are simple things you can do and more complicated things you can do. The simplest thing is long and strong passwords.
Mm-hmm.
You don't share them across every platform in your life. They're not dumb passwords. Password is not a password. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 doesn't really work. Certainly the people at Ashley Madison found out about all of that.
Right.
Or you can get a password manager,
mm-hmm,
or you can devise a password phrase which becomes part of a password protocol you use. Two-factor authentication. Some people find that to be a little cumbersome, which is every time they log in and it's, let's say it's from a different device or you have a different IP and somehow the website doesn't pick it up right, they'll say foreign device and they'll either text you a code which you then have to enter in order to continue, or security questions pop up. Now, security questions have always been one of my favorite areas to talk about, because when you set up your security question protocol, don't assume that you're going to undergo the equivalent of a background check for a security clearance. That company, that website, that entity that you are creating the security questions for, they don't really care what the truth is. All they care is when they ask you, the answer you give is consistent with the answer you gave.
Right.
So lie like a superhero.
Right.
Especially because a great deal of the information out there on social networking sites is the answer to security questions.
Absolutely. I mean, the old favorite for me was always, you know, what's your mother's maiden name?
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of people will give a true answer. Well, that information is very, very easy to come by. And as you rightly say, the bank or the third party really doesn't care. It could be Smith. It could be Sawalski. They really don't care as long as there is that consistent match. So I think that's a great point.
That's the point. So, you know, live your life, but understand that there are certain things. Now, don't be so creative when you answer the questions that you can't remember the answers, which means, you know, congratulations, you've just shut yourself out. So there's that. Shredding, never underestimate the humble shredder. Making sure that your mobile devices are secure. Make sure when you put a code into your device that it's actually a creative code as opposed to 1234 or 9876 or 1111 or some people's favorite 0000. Don't click on links just because, oh, I got a link. This looks cool. Let me click on it. The IRS doesn't, for instance, send you email. They don't call you on the phone. You know, there are four types of phishing, or I call it the pantheon of ishings. There's phishing, dear cardholder, dear member, dear account holder. There's spear phishing, dear Steve. There's vishing, that's voice over internet protocol phishing. That's when someone calls you on the phone and either says they're the Internal Revenue Service or they're your bank and they ask you to authenticate yourself. So rule number one with that is never authenticate yourself to anyone from anywhere for any reason. Never trust, always verify. It's one thing if you make the call, if you send the email, if you log onto a site and they're trying to figure out if you are who you represent yourself to be. But if someone calls you, first step is, well, don't you know me? That's why you're calling me. And if you don't know me, why would I want to A, talk to you and B, give you any information? So you don't do that. You don't open attachments that a friend of a friend of a friend says, oh, this is the coolest thing. You got to see this. You don't download unverified apps onto your mobile device. Go to a real app store, and even some of the real app stores have had some issues. And just because you see something that you think is the newest, coolest, most outrageous, hottest thing on the market, that doesn't mean that you should do it and download it, because oftentimes there are surprises. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, Pokemon Go, when people realized that the most recent iteration, people were giving permissions for them to crawl into your Google life when it was brought to everyone's attention. They went, no, mistake. We didn't really mean that. And Google was like slowly fading in the corner. And it was a thing where it was a bad thing. Bad decision they made. When people say, oh, we put a chip in you, it'll make it easier. You can walk by the vending machine and wave.
Right.
Do you really want that chip in you? Do you want somebody really following you around? So be very careful. Be thoughtful. Freeze your credit. Now it's free. You can freeze your credit anywhere in the United States, and it's free, not only for you, but for your kids.
Whereas or your parents. Days,
or your parents.
Mm-hmm.
And be mindful of all these things and always be alert. If something doesn't seem right, there's a good chance it isn't right. It's not a mistake. You get a call from a debt collector for a debt that your child owes, you go, that's ridiculous. My kid's six. Can't possibly be true.
Mm-hmm.
They could be a victim of identity theft.
Right.
So on the minimization front, and when you have these Internet of Things devices, change the passwords on them. Make them long and strong. Make sure you at least change the password on your router, which is sort of the gateway into your home. And be very careful about who you talk to, what you talk to about them, and don't overshare on social media. I know the people have an unquenchable thirst to find out everything they can about anyone they know and half the people they don't know. And so many people have this irrational desire to share every morsel of their lives on social media. Look at my new car. Here's my new bracelet. Wow, I just got my new driver's license. Look at my new debit card. Never had a debit card, never had a credit card. Want to share it with the world? There's a famous story of a woman that got so excited at one of the Democratic National Conventions, she waved her Medicare card in front of the camera and forgot to really think about the fact that at that time, your Medicare number was your Social Security number.
Right.
And the other thing people have to understand also is your cell phone number is now practically ubiquitous. Everywhere you go, they say, oh, by the way, if you want to take advantage of our loyalty program, give me your email address, give me your cell phone number. So people's email addresses, their cell phone numbers, they are practically ubiquitous. Think about all of the websites that you log on to that give you the choice of doing anything. And you go, I'll just use my email address as my ID. Not a good idea. Now, there are some that demand that you do it, but you should still find a way to ask them and say, is there any way I could come up with anything else? But those are a number of the ways that you can minimize. Not perfect, because again, you can do everything right. But if you're on the wrong database, as you've reported on so frequently, at the wrong moment and the wrong person gains unauthorized access and your Social Security number is on that database, you're going to be looking over your shoulder for the rest of your life.
Thanks for tuning in to the first of our three-part series of conversations with Adam Levin. Be sure to listen for our second episode, in which Adam focuses on creating a cyber-resilient corporate culture.
If you think that technology is the solution to your problems, your security problems, then you don't understand the technology and you don't understand the problems.
We know you'll look forward to that conversation. In the meantime, for more resources for CISOs and anyone looking to enhance the security of their business, please visit securityforum.org. And we'd like to hear from you. If there's a topic you'd like us to cover or someone you'd like to hear interviewed, get in touch through our website or tweet us at Security Forum. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.